Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin. Any questions? I know. I love David Pumpkins.
I know you do.
Yeah.
That is, if you haven't watched it, it's a Saturday Night Live skit. Look up Tom Hanks and David Pumpkins. Yeah. I don't know why it's funny, but it's hilarious. And that was his thing. Any questions?
Yes.
No. Yeah. What is this?
Exactly. I love David. I love Tom Hanks, too.
So. Oh, yeah. Good guy. Like, yes. I know him. I don't know.
I know.
But anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. We are so happy to have you back. To all of our listeners, thanks for coming back. And to all of our new listeners, hi. Welcome. Welcome to our weirdness that we love. Erin and I are fraternal twins, and we love true crime. And so we talk about it. So thanks. And if you haven't already, give us a follow on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open if you'd like to reach out to say hi, got a show idea, any questions? You can send those to us. And if you're not a social media person, don't worry, we're really not either. You can send us an email at southernonion2@gmail.com. And we will be happy to answer questions, show ideas, comments, whatever you got. Just be nice. That's all we ask. Because that's the right thing to do.
It is.
Yes. It absolutely is. All right. So thank you so much. We got a lot of great feedback from our last episode, the Gabby Petito case. That is going to be ongoing. We're going to give updates as things keep unfolding. It's still a very surreal case, I guess, is what I'll say about that. So it's just sad. So, okay. So here we are. We're barreling toward Halloween.
Yes.
One of Erin's favorite times of the year. Me, I just appreciate the candy. I'm still waiting to find the M&M's candy corn. I have yet to find it, and I'm a little sad right now.
So I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, you have? Oh, it's delicious. And it's delicious. Yes, and I'm sure it's healthy for you because it's corn. Sure.
Right. It's there you go. It's one of your vegetables.
Don't worry about the candy in front of it. Focus on the corn part. So, so I've been doing that. So, Erin, do you dress up for Halloween?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I don't either, but I have to work at an office, and they are so into Halloween, and I feel really bad that I'm the person covering on the day when you can dress up at work, and I'm like, I'm going to have to put some effort just to be respectful, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Don't worry. I'll post a picture on the Instagram.
Yeah, I have a poodle skirt in the back of my closet, so I'm ready.
No. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Anytime.
Do it. Yay. Yep, I'll just put on a Wonder Woman shirt, and I'm Wonder Woman.
There you go. So. Yeah.
So, well, how's your week been, Erin? You gotten into anything fun?
It's been good. It's been busy, of course, as anything else. But I've been watching a new show. It's on Netflix, and it's called Clickbait.
Okay, so last week was Midnight Mass, which I have started. Yeah. And other people through other communities I'm in were actually asking about it, too. So, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, so this one's Clickbait. Called Clickbait. I think his name is Adrian Brody. He's dark-headed. He was a big thing, I think, back in the day. I'm not sure. But he's in it. There's a video of him, and it's saying, you know, I abuse women, and if I get 5 million likes, I'll die. Somebody has kidnapped him, and there's this video circulating around about him. So they're trying to find him in time before the 5 million likes happen. Before he's going to get killed. But it's only like 8 episodes, but everything is not what it seems.
Okay.
It's really, really good. I don't want to give anything away. Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm on the 3rd episode right now. And it's really good.
Okay, so Clickbait.
Yeah. Guy gets kidnapped. If he gets 5 million likes on the video, he gets killed.
Right up our alley, right?
There you go. They're racing the clock to find him. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck to Adrian Brody.
Yeah. I think that's his name. I could be totally wrong, but...
Well, I'm sure I don't. It'll say when you look at the description on Netflix, it's fine.
When you see him, you'll be like, oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. Anything else?
No. I mean, that's,
decorating the house? Anything?
No, got all that done.
Win the lottery?
I wish, right?
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, just been trying to stay busy, so. Oh,
good. Well, I actually got to complete my first, it was a short one-shot campaign of Dungeons & Dragons, and it was so much fun. Mara Stormwind did okay. I about died twice, but that's okay. That's supposed to happen, allegedly. Yeah. I was the only one in the group that it happened to, but whatever, it's fine. I usually stand out. But so it was so much fun. I can't wait. We're going to start another longer campaign this weekend. So I'm so excited.
Cool.
So if anybody has any Dungeons & Dragons comments, helps, whatever, feel free to send us a line, and I'll be glad to read that. And I have been watching a show on Netflix.
Ooh.
Netflix, looking for sponsors. Thank you. It's called The Dragon Prince, and it's anime, and it's so good. It's got like 3 seasons out, and so I enjoy it. It's funny because we talk about true crime, but when I watch shows, I need something lighthearted, happy endings, not suspenseful. Things that. That's for
definitely.
Me. But other people enjoy, you know, I mean, Law and Order still makes me nervous. After how many years?
Yeah.
I still am like. Yeah.
Or Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, no. Robert Stack, his voice. Uh-uh.
Have you seen the new one?
Look. Yes.
The music is even more haunting.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm watching it. My palms start sweating. I'm like, can I do this?
I can't sleep at night. Yeah.
Right. I pretty much have to put on the Disney Channel starting at like 8 o'clock at night if I'm not watching sports just to go to sleep.
Yeah. It's that scary. They're good, though.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I hope everybody else has had a great week. Fall colors are in the air. I like to take pictures, so especially of nature. So I've got my little places written down to go take pictures here in the next few weeks because the leaves are starting to change. So,
yay! Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I might share some of those on our Instagram as well. Still, probably in the next week or two, Erin and I will have our updates that we have for the show and some little bit of changes. Nothing, it's just still going to be us, but just a few changes to the show and what we'll have to offer because we want to hear from you all. We want to interact with you all more. And so we're going to make changes so that we can make sure we do that in a fun way because we're fun.
Yeah, we have a good time.
Twins. Absolutely. All right, so getting to the onion of this week.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it's the funeral of Charles Manson.
Yes.
This is a documentary available on YouTube for free. It is an hour and 24 minutes.
Yes.
You can just type in the funeral of Charles Manson, and there it is. I would like to start off the episode by publicly apologizing to Erin because I don't know what I did to you for you to choose this episode and have me watch it, but I'm sorry. It must have been terrible what I did. No. I'm so sorry.
This is a different take, right, on what we normally would do.
It is. I mean, it gives... Yeah. We're not going to talk about Charles Manson and everything surrounding that. This is actually just the funeral of Charles Manson.
Right.
And it is interesting. It is nauseating. It is, I'm pretty much not going to be eating fruit for a few years now. Mm-hmm. And we'll explain that in a minute. I will try to hold my gag reflex. But when I watched this within the first, I was eating supper. I was having a grilled chicken sandwich trying to be healthy.
Oh, no.
And I had to stop eating within the first 5 minutes. So
I
will be going to bed hungry tonight. And I'm okay
with
that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just fine with that. Because, ew. Because I'm one of those people that you can describe something to me. I can put a picture in my head immediately.
Right. Yeah.
And they were describing things, and I had a picture.
And the smell of everything,
Ew, yeah. It was like I had a taste. It was gross.
Yeah.
So anyway, Erin, I'm so sorry. Please don't do this to me again.
I've been wanting you to watch this for years. Now I finally got
it's happened. To do it. Yeah, and yes. I will never be the same.
Yeah.
Ever. So,
so you can't unsee it.
Well, you cannot unsee it and hear
that's
it.
Right. Yeah.
So this documentary starts out. It is showing a news segment announcing the death of Charles Manson at age 83. Mm-hmm. It's showing the coroner's office that his body was taken to, and we meet the funeral director of the funeral home mortuary crematory that his body has been taken to.
Yes.
And the funeral director starts immediately, I mean, boom, phew, right at the start of the documentary, starts describing the state of Charles Manson's body. And Erin, take it away.
Because Erica needs to be near the bucket.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm going to mute my mic.
So, the funeral director, his name is Les Peters. And so he describes it. He said that usually bodies are like put in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought that Charles would be put in a freezer, but he was refrigerated instead.
Yeah. And there's a difference in refrigeration and freezer in anything.
Right. So he's been in the refrigerator for like, what, 3 or 4 months after his
mm-hmm.
death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all pruney and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff. Yeah, they described it. He describes mm-hmm. it. He said, well, it's like what happens when you leave fruit out for too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was, and right then and there, I set my grilled chicken sandwich down and said, I'm done for today eating.
Yeah.
And I will never, ever eat fruit again.
So with him being in the refrigerator, some things have deteriorated.
Yep. And liquefied.
He is deteriorated. Mm. Yes. And liquefied. When they got the bag, it was liquid at the bottom of the bag.
Yep.
So.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah. That's okay. It's all right. Here, we'll fan you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the cat? I need to pet a cat.
Right. So that's where it first starts out right away in this documentary.
Yes.
So we meet a guy by the name of Jason Freeman. And Jason Freeman is the grandson of Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, Audrey, which I love Audrey.
I love Audrey. Audrey's fantastic. Thank you, girl.
Yes.
Yes.
So Audrey... Jason wants to bring Charles home, so to speak, have a proper burial for him
mm-hmm.
because he's family. And he said, we do for family. I know Charles has done some awful things, and he did,
mm-hmm.
But I want to do the right thing and bring him, you know, have a proper burial for him.
Right.
And I think that's a great thing, but...
Well...
And you'll see throughout this, he's torn between this. He's torn between, mm-hmm. you know, this is family, but he did terrible things.
Right. And like you said, starting out, you could tell Jason just wants to do the right thing. He wants to do right by family, even though, and you learn his backstory, his life. Jason really, it was him and his mom,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. You never really heard of any other family members around. So this is new. And how do you meet your grandfather, who's a notorious, you know, cult leader?
Right, mastermind.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and now you're the sole, you know, the person responsible for what would you like to do with the remains? Oh,
right.
My goodness.
Right.
What?
And I mean, and Jason goes to the mortuary
mm-hmm.
to see the condition. And I mean, him and Audrey are like, oh, my goodness. Like,
mm-hmm.
what happened here? You know, well, they made the mistake of putting him in the refrigerator.
Right.
So, they're in the midst of making plans
mm-hmm.
when there's a hiccup in the plan.
There's always a hiccup.
Yeah. Because Jason is not the only heir
mm-hmm.
to Charles Manson's body.
Right. Because when someone passes and there is not immediately no next of kin, they have to make an announcement in the news, newspaper, mm-hmm. something to allow the public to say, hey, if you feel you're related to this person or have any ownership mm-hmm. in the estate of this person, you need to come forward. Right. And anybody can do it.
Right. And Jason, his mother, mm-hmm. her name is Shawn Moreland. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm saying that right.
Yep.
She dated, and I believe married, if I'm not mistaken, Charles Manson Jr.
Yes.
Except he didn't go by Charles Manson Jr. He went by the name Jay White.
Yes.
Because he was very embarrassed that his father was Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I cannot imagine. Yeah,
right. So when Jason is born, I think Sean began to realize that Jay, a.k.a. mm-hmm. Charles Manson Jr., started talking about Charles Manson more, and she just kind of wanted him to be distanced from that. Mm-hmm. She didn't want him to really have any part of that whatsoever.
Right.
So Jason did not have his dad around. Mm-hmm. And his dad, when he was, Jason was what, a freshman in high school?
Yes.
He committed suicide.
Yeah, Jason was 16. He was freshman, sophomore, something.
Yeah. And his dad had committed suicide. Mm-hmm. So Jason never really had a father around. So I kind of wanted to bring that up because that might be why he felt so compelled with Charles to have this burial for him, because it was a connection to family.
Well, and a male member of family.
Yeah. Yeah. And a connection to his dad.
Right. Yeah. That was his last link, really. And I found it interesting at the beginning of the documentary. Mm-hmm. Jason was like, oh gosh, I'm the grandson of Charles Manson. I'm embarrassed by this. I don't want people to know this. People call me threatening to kill me just because I'm his grandson. It's like, what do I do? So that's kind of how Jason starts off in the beginning of this documentary. Because you still got to wonder, because here, I got to be me and say, I find it interesting you didn't want to be linked to be the grandchild of Charles Manson, but then when it came time for his funeral, you have a documentary crew with you?
Right, yeah.
Just saying. I'm just putting that out there.
I know.
I find that a little suspicious, but...
Yeah. So, three other people are claiming the body.
Yes.
So, we have Matthew Lentz, who is an alleged son. Mm-hmm. We have Michael Bruner, who is Manson's biological son. Yes. And then we have a guy by the name of Michael Channels, mm-hmm. who's a pen pal will holder.
Yeah, I found that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Who are we going to start with?
Michael, I'm just, I'd have just, no, man. I'd have gone ahead and dipped out of that.
Right.
Before, but okay, sure. Keep him in there for fun. Right?
Sure.
So let's look at Matthew Lentz. Matthew Lentz, he claims that he is the alleged son of Charles Manson. Him and his mom, Charles Manson, his mom supposedly hooked up, and he always believed. Well, they did a DNA sample on him, and he's not a match.
Correct.
Because they used Jason's DNA with Lentz's, and they found out there's no biological match there.
Right. Yep.
So we can mark him off. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one, Channels. That's the pen pal will holder. Yeah, he said he has a will from Manson, but it's not witnessed or certified. Yeah, it's not witnessed or certified. So the courts ruled that that has no standing.
Yeah, and it can't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to have a will, you have to go through the proper channels, period.
Right. You have to have it certified, witnessed.
If you're leaving it with someone outside of your family or even your immediate family, but you've got to do the right thing.
So, Bruner, who is Manson's biological son, his mom, Mary, used to help Charles recruit women for the Manson family.
She was the first female
in
the Manson family, if you will. So, she got some stuff going on that Charles likes. So, you know, you're right. And she did. She started help recruiting the females of the family.
Yeah. So she has Michael. And, Charles raised him. He used to call him Sunstone. That was his nickname, was Sunstone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Charles helped kind of raise him. So, of course, when all the Manson thing went down, he actually was adopted out. Michael was. Yeah. So there is no birth certificate where it says that Charles Manson is his biological father.
Right, because allegedly there was one out there. However, when you are adopted, that becomes your birth certificate. You can no longer access the birth certificate prior to the adoption. So that's why you couldn't get him.
Here's my question. I'm surprised that Michael did not say, do a DNA test on me.
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, and match it against Jason to show.
That's what I didn't understand because I was like, well, I waited for them to talk about the DNA test, and they never did. It was his lawyers just dropped it.
Yeah, and that was kind of surprising. I don't know if maybe he was like, you know what? No, thank you.
Well, and it might have been. I've got enough issues. I don't need this brought on too.
Yeah, so the courts rule in Jason's favor that he gets the body.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know. So, 6 years, we find out in the documentary, 6 years before Manson died, mm-hmm. Jason was calling Manson and was talking to him on the phone.
Yeah, and trying to establish that connection.
Yeah. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he even talked about his son, Charles Manson Jr., killing himself. And he was like, yeah, there must have been something really wrong with him to do that.
Oh, just so disassociated.
Yeah.
Charles Manson was definitely, I don't know that he was always present on this earth. I don't know how to say that. I mean, was he a thinker? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff he said doesn't make sense to me, but that doesn't mean something to others. So,
right. But, yeah. Like eating isn't real. It's a state of mind. Right. It's what, you know.
Yeah.
No, if you don't eat, you die. So
I mean, scientifically it's a real thing. Proven, yes.
Right. So I thought that was odd. But I found it as one last manipulation for Charles, right?
Yes.
To manipulate Jason, to tell him, oh, my rights have been taken away from me, mm-hmm. feel sorry for me. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like he was manipulating Jason. And you could hear it in the phone calls.
Yes, you could. And that's the thing, because I think that's where a lot of the controversy with Manson is. Did Manson physically mm-hmm. kill Sharon Tate in the mirror? No, he didn't. But he was the person that put it in the minds of others, and they took it to the extreme.
Power of suggestion.
Exactly. And that's what he was able to do. And that, and what coercion, I think is what it is. And that's why he's so dangerous. If he could get those people to believe, yes, you need to commit these acts of crime, of murder, and heinous murder.
Right.
What could he do if left and let it grow?
Right.
I mean, that's a problem, you know, that's somebody who's a danger to society. That's where that comes from.
Oh, definitely. Yes. So, Erica, get on your black mourning clothes.
No.
Because we're going to the funeral.
Oh, boy. Okay. I got it picked out.
Here we go.
Yep.
So, just so everybody knows, it is open casket.
And evidently, it is open casket. And you do see Charles Manson. So
you do.
If you want to see that, watch it. If you don't want to see that, don't watch it.
Right,
yes. Like this slow dramatic approach to the casket.
And like you said, only a select people were there. It was Manson supporters.
Yeah.
Like pen pals, or even I think one of them actually served time with Manson.
Yeah, Gray Wolf.
Gray Wolf, yes. Mm-hmm. So those are the people that are going to be at the funeral. Mm-hmm. So let's go through this character list.
Yes,
right?
And all I'm saying here again is Jason Freeman had the choice. He could have just had a private service with just him and his wife and a minister and done the cremation, and that would have been it. But he allowed, which, I think his intentions were good, to let these top level supporters of Charles Manson, of friends like Grey Wolf, to come. Right. But good grief.
This was, and even Audrey, our voice of reason in this,
is
like, Jason, don't let this go off the rails. Don't let this be a circus, Jason.
Exactly.
Don't do it. So
it was a sideshow for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
At the minimum.
So, so we have John Michael, a.k.a. J.J. Jones. Mm-hmm. And he was a pen pal of Manson. Mm-hmm. And he reached out to Jason about a friendship. You know, he wanted to be friends with Jason and talked about his relationship with Charles Manson. Mm-hmm. And he was a little dramatic.
He was like...
Just a little.
Uncontrollable sobbing.
Yes.
And... What Audrey said, she had never seen a grown man cry that much.
Right.
Now, guys, it's okay to cry. Don't.
It is. Absolutely.
Embrace your feelings. It's fine. But I know what she's, I think I get what she means by it just seems, there's always that one person and at a funeral that you're like, are you serious right now?
You want the person hysterically throwing themselves on the casket.
Exactly.
No,
don't go.
Maybe not to that, but he was like, oh, Charlie, I love you, Charlie. Stroking his hair, stroking his beard, kissed him on the head. would stand there as other mourners were coming up and just being kind of animated about it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just like I said, stroking his hair, kissing him, love you, Charlie.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Everybody grieves differently. Yes.
They do, yes.
However, when you're...
Yeah.
This is going to sound so insensitive. So I'm going to try to make it as least insensitive as possible. JJ had a pen pal relationship with Charles Manson.
Yes.
I get that. I respect that. But I don't think that gives you the right to be stroking his hair and his beard and kissing him on the forehead. That to me is like worshipy. Like, oh, I'm meeting this vessel that I feel a bond with. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, stop.
Right.
That is, it's too much. If Jason wanted to do that, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Family member. But this is some guy that's just been writing
corresponding
letters.
Right.
You know, with Charles Manson. And I was just like, you're overstepping here. And then there's Jason just kind of in the background, just like, well, and then there's Audrey.
Right.
Like, are you serious?
Right. Audrey's like, shut it down.
Right.
It's a circus.
And I'm sitting there going, no, you don't have this right. No.
Right. So JJ feels that Jason has been lied to about his grandfather all these years. Mm-hmm. And we start to see this become the theme of the guest at the funeral, where they feel that Charles has been vilified in the media. He's a really good person. He didn't do anything.
No.
He just got everything thrown on him. He's an innocent man that had everything blamed on him.
Yes.
But he never did anything wrong.
Exactly.
That's their stance on it.
And they firmly believe this. And they refuse to even consider the idea that he could be the tiniest ounce of guilty or need to take blame in his part of events.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we also meet a guy by the name of Craig Hammond, a.k.a. Grey Wolf.
Yes.
And he's a friend of Manson, and he actually served time with Manson.
Mm-hmm. And he...
So he knew him, you know.
He knew Charles on the inside, like in a see you physically day-to-day.
Right. While Interaction. Yes.
Absolutely. And he was like, of all of the supporters there, he was the most like steady.
Yeah,
I did not like that he wanted to drape the Confederate flag over his casket because, but he was like the most level.
Yeah, he was kind of calm.
Yeah,
like he was calm.
Yeah, he was. I don't know. I could see you could feel his sense of loss because that was his friend, but it was not JJ level.
Right. And then we meet Billy Graham, not the minister. Okay.
Billy Graham. Graham.
And he is a Manson supporter.
Yeah. The irony is not lost on me here either with Billy Graham.
Yeah. Right. I know. So he is a Manson supporter as well. So.
Yes. He is a conspirator. I would not call him a conspirator. He is a conspiracy
He believes that this, theorist. He was railroaded,
that,
you know. And,
very passionate about Charles Manson and how we've got to fight to get the truth out about Charles Manson. We cannot let this fight end.
Right. He was a good man. Mm-hmm. They're painting him out to be bad, you know.
Yes.
So so they start the funeral. And I feel bad for this minister because I think it has to be hard to come up with a sermon to kind of talk about how wonderful this person was when we all know he's a mastermind killer.
Right.
You know?
Right. And
right.
This was a minister who fully believed and felt, mm-hmm. I need to do this because we all deserve a proper burial.
True. Yes.
And I absolutely agree with that.
Kudos to him for that. Yes.
Yes. But I would have been very intimidated to go into that room because, and he did, he tried to keep things neutral. He was not, he, and what Billy Graham and JJ were so upset about is because he did not sing his praises about how the media has done Charles Manson wrong. And oh my goodness, they have it all wrong about him. He didn't. He stuck to scripture and kind of your run-of-the-mill funeral service, if you will. If you've been to enough funerals, you know what I'm talking about. Your run-of-the-mill funeral service. And JJ and Billy are both like, it was everything just to sit there and not get up and just strangle him with my bare hands. And I'm like, what?
I know, right? Right.
Shut up. Yeah. Are you
because
serious?
He said there's actions to your consequences, and Charlie found that out.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
But those, I mean, but those two, I was like, you all stop it. Just talk.
So, you know, and Grey Wolf got up and spoke, and he's a good speaker, but it's just too bad it, you know, it was about the conspiracy that's not even...
Right. Well, and he was like, the best way to carry on Charles Manson's legacy is to breathe in and breathe out, you know, to keep living, to keep, you know, the trees provide air, and, you know, so it was kind of a...
Yeah.
It wasn't like when Billy Graham got up. We got to stop the fight. They got
Right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Grey Wolf was trying to say, like, look.
Right.
Just live and do what's right. Because that's what Charles Manson would want, according to him.
Yes. Oh, and I meant to say, sorry. Mm-hmm. When they were having the funeral, that people were able to put things in the casket.
Oh,
so they put things like an eagle feather, a ring, flags, and even you said they draped... draped over a Confederate flag.
Yeah, they draped the American flag over the casket.
Right.
Still
and
confused
then,
about that. And then Grey Wolf wanted to put a small
Confederate flag on there. Yeah.
Because I don't know. And I was like,
And Audrey was like, no, but it was a different time, so I'm just...
Right,
you know,
she tried to be neutral, but you could tell she was like, this is so wrong. This
Is
so wrong.
Yeah. Don't worry, Audrey, you'll have her moment, I promise.
Oh, yes, she will.
So, so now they decide they're going to cremate him. Okay, so they're standing there. I did not know this at all. This was something new for me, that the family got to push the button.
I didn't know that that was a thing. I do not think it is a thing.
I didn't think
it is. I mean, if we're wrong, please tell us we're wrong.
Yes.
It's fine.
All right.
I just really don't, because you have to be like licensed to do
crematories
and cremations. You can't just say, hey kid, you want to come push a button, you know?
Yeah, it was
odd. Do that.
Well, and there, of course, all the supporters are standing there. Again, it could have been Jason and his wife.
It could have been very private or say, yes, funeral director, please cremate the body. We will wait for the urn out here. You know
exactly. Yes. So JJ's in the background going, "Oh, Charlie," you know, "Oh, Charlie," and that's and so Jason pushes the buttons, and everybody's standing there, and the director says it's going to be like 3 to 3.5 hours. So if you guys want to go out and do something and come back,
was so good. He was like, "Now you're
really
more
was.
Than welcome to stay here or back over in the room. Now I know there's a lot going on today, so if you all need to take a break,"
he was amazing.
He was good. He was
amazing because everybody's standing there like they're waiting for this moment to happen. And it happened, and they're like, it's going to be like 3 hours.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's not happening in 10 minutes, guys.
Phew,
you know,
that's it.
Right. Yes.
TV. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. So they cremated him. I know. Okay. So Jason decides that he wants to spread Charlie's ashes in an area that people aren't going to know. Because he doesn't want people to come out and start kind of worshiping that area or frequenting that area. He just wanted to release the ashes. In like a creek wooded area, I guess is the best way to describe it if I had to.
Yeah, it's super like a stream. Just a very peaceful, nature-y.
Yes.
It could not have been that far off the beaten path because nobody was dressed
right.
for hiking except Jason.
Oh, no.
And,
right.
And
right.
So you know it's not too far mm-hmm. wherever this is. And because it's
right.
in California, right, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, yeah.
And so what was interesting was... the followers were there as well. So the followers
Why?
Were there. Again, we see the Manson supporters with Jason. Mm-hmm. And I think they're kind of getting to Jason a little bit. I think they're like saying, look, your grandfather's not as bad as people have made him out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see Jason kind of change his mind a little bit.
And how he talks about him. Yeah.
Right.
I'm embarrassed to be his grandson now.
Yeah. It's like, you know, maybe he was misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out into the wooded area. They don't show everything. They kind of show the creek or whatever.
Right.
So Audrey's like, ooh, it's getting a little chilly out here.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes back to the car to go get her sweater. Now, she has left the group who is supposed to be out spreading ashes,
yeah.
putting it around the creek, things like that. She comes back and the followers and Jason are coming out of the wooded area. And they had ash on their faces.
Why?
And Audrey's
Why?
Like, what the, you know, why? The followers had taken Charlie's ashes and smeared it on their faces.
So this is why it's hard for me to take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to preface this by saying I have never been to a service or a get-together where ashes are being spread.
Right. I have not either.
I'm pretty sure smearing ashes on your face is not part of it.
I wouldn't think so.
I feel confident in that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why would you do that?
They were this one lady was rubbing it on her hands.
One dropped it down her shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like... You know how hard that is going to be to get out? Have you ever been to the beach? And you're like, sand is everywhere for days.
Right.
Days.
Yes. And that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Every single one of them. And that's when Audrey's like, you know what?
She's like, done.
Yeah. I've had it. I'm done with this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, when I saw that, but then you have to appreciate mm-hmm. the documentary crew.
Yes, you do.
It shows... Jason's dressed, like a hiker. He's got his mm-hmm. hiking pants on. He's got mm-hmm. this nice sweater and this, you know, this backpack. And it shows him, like, put his hand down a box and bring up these ashes. And he's, like,
mm-hmm.
throwing it in the wind. And then it very slowly it shows him wiping his hands.
Yes.
Slow motion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, oh,
yeah.
Boy. Somebody got new editing tools.
But, and all the followers got to take a scoop and kind of.
Well, yeah, they were all just
let into the wind.
Like, here's
but...
mine. Here's my share. And
then and then rubbing it on themselves. So yeah, I was ooh, Lord.
Mm.
I know. So after all of that,
And wait, there's more.
Right. Yeah. No. So that's the end of that as far as that goes with Charles. Oh, and a ring had survived the fire.
Okay, yes.
And so, yes.
He's sitting there by a campfire or something.
Yes.
It alludes that he's sitting outside and there's a bonfire, campfire. And he goes, this ring has survived the fire
mm-hmm.
Charles went through. And when I put it on, I just feel closer to him. And I'm like, whoa,
right.
who
right.
is this?
Right. You can tell he's changed. You can tell. Yeah.
He didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah. Right. Now the followers have kind of gotten to him and he's starting to think, okay, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that him putting the ring on and everything.
Yeah.
So Jason ends up meeting with a Charles Manson member by the name of Diane Lake.
Shout out Diane Lake because I have her listed as the realist.
Yeah.
She tells exactly what's up. Because up until now, other than Grey Wolf, and Grey Wolf is not interviewed. I mean, he's interviewed, but he doesn't really have a lot of personal stuff to say. Diane was actually there when all of this started, when Charles Manson started the ranch and the family. She was there from the beginning. So I'm going to believe her because
Me too.
She was there. not.
And she even said, "I was there."
Yeah, Google detectives about, this is what happened, and this is why it's not true, and why he should be free, and blah blah blah. No.
Right. Yes.
I'm listening to Diane.
Yeah, and Jason asked Dane. He goes, "Look, you know, was my grandfather as bad as people have made him out to be?" Mm-hmm. Which I think is a fair question, because you're getting two different sides of the story.
Yeah. He just wants the truth. I mean.
Right. And I think that's all he ever really wanted. Mm-hmm. So Diane says, you know, Charles would make you feel loved and adored. He always made you feel like you were his favorite.
You know who else did? Ted Bundy.
Yeah, I guess.
That's all I kept thinking, Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she said he made me feel loved and adored and his favorite, and he would drink root beer and we would have a good time and everything was wonderful.
Yeah.
But then, and Manson had a gift and a curse in a sense that he could read people. Mm-hmm. And he knew what their vulnerabilities were, and he would play into that vulnerability.
Exactly. So he's a manipulator.
Yes. And in the beginning, he was a playful person.
Yep.
But then he kind of changed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she called it, he kind of down spiraled.
Yes.
But not as to why, just that he did.
Yeah. Yeah. And that he was absolutely instrumental in the deaths of Sharon Tate and the LaBianca family and the friends of Sharon Tate as well. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I'm telling you because I was there."
Yeah.
And
she talked about how he liked to play mind games. Like you referenced earlier, he would say, "You don't need to eat. That's just a mind thing. You don't need to eat. We're fine. We don't need food. We don't need substance to keep our bodies going." And then he also said that pain was a weakness of the mind. And he would take their hands, hers included, and put their finger over a candle. And he was like, "You don't feel pain. You don't." And she was like, "I did. Bleep, I did feel pain." she was it was hot and it smelled bad. And, that she felt that pain. So I thought that was very interesting, because she's able to give firsthand accounts into what he was doing. And she said when it got to the knife class, the killing class, that she was like, "Okay, wait a minute." But to her, it was a mind game. He wasn't saying go kill these people or kill people. Right. He was saying, "Here's how you can protect yourself so that you yourself are not killed."
Right.
And
yeah.
Self-defense classes, what do they teach you? How to protect yourself. They're not teaching you to fight and beat up other people. Mm-hmm. They're teaching you how to protect yourself in different situations. Right. So I think that's what I got from it when she said that.
Right. I think there was that, I want to be his favorite and I want to be a loyal follower to him. Mm-hmm. And I think it was that you need to show your loyalty.
Right. And just like with every group, pick a group. You're going to have extremists in those groups.
Sure.
And the ones that went to her house and he was like, "Hey, kill this family." They were the extremists. They were like, "Okay, yeah, let's do it."
Yeah.
What?
Right. Yeah. So I think Jason got a good depiction of who his grandfather really was.
Yeah.
After leaving Diane Lake's house.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't, we did.
But then I was like, okay, it's confirmed, you know.
Right, yes. And I love, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Billy Graham that said, "Everybody wants to go out and make it seem like it's a boom shakalaka."
Yeah, he's saying that Charles Manson or what happened created that saying, boom shakalaka. The
boom shakalaka. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. There's a song called Boom Shakalaka, isn't there?
I think so.
Yeah.
We'll have to look
So there you
up.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you, that's,
so,
yeah.
So I really liked it, because then it was after talking with Diane, it shows Jason, "Well, I'm going to take my boat and I'm going to go 6 miles out into the ocean, because I saved a little bit," foreshadowing here, "a little bit of his ashes and I want to get rid of it. The line ends with me. The family lineage ends with me." Because Jason, it shows, has 2 children of his own.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
So these are great grandkids of Charles Manson. Yeah. And so it shows him go out on the boat and he has like this wooden cross. He's opening up a Bible. Mm-hmm. Very, anyway, overdone shot. But so he opens the urn. Now he said, now you've got where they went out and sprinkled these ashes in this field, this stream, and you've got people coming back with ashes on their face and all over their body. Yeah. So Jason proceeds to pull a bag out from this urn. That bag was half full.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, we saved a little bit.
Yeah, that was a lot.
A little bit. That was a whole lot. And I was just like, okay. But then it shows him, evidently somebody is in the water shooting the camera up to him.
Yes.
Showing him spreading the ashes into the sea. And that was, for him, it was kind of like, okay, I've done what I needed to do family-wise.
Right.
But I'm done with this now. I'm done being Charles Manson's grandkid.
Yeah.
And, you know, shows him playing with the family and all that. And
right. And I hope he really did get the closure he needed.
I hope. But, I mean, in that hour, 20 minutes, he goes from, I don't want people knowing he's my grandfather, to, oh, I think he was done wrong, back to, I don't want people knowing I'm his grandson.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a full circle ride. Yeah. Because I was worried it was. For a minute. And I'm like, don't get caught up in the Kool-Aid of.
Right.
You can't deny facts. And I get JJ and I get Billy Graham, and they're just protecting what they feel is right, and they're protecting their friend.
Sure.
You know. So I get why they do it. I don't agree with it. I think they're wrong.
Right.
But I see where they're coming from. You know, we've all had a friend we stood by and we're like, oops, maybe we should have stood up for them, but you know.
Yeah.
Of course, none of my friends have been known killers that I know of.
Right.
That's but hey, tomorrow's another day, right?
That's right. Yes. So yeah.
So that was the funeral. It was Charles Manson.
It was an interesting documentary.
It was because they did. It flashed back to what he was accused of and convicted for, but it was it honestly was the funeral and the planning of that funeral and the grandson behind it, the sole.
Yeah.
The sole confirmed heir.
Correct,
of Charles Manson to do. But, I mean, what a task to have to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, good. Kudos to you, Jason. Audrey, I love you. You're fantastic.
Yes.
Because I was reading the comments on YouTube. And some people did not like Audrey. They were like, oh, she just needs to be quiet or whatever. Because, you know, people are going to always say stuff. It's the internet. But yeah, I was like, no, she was the voice of reason, like, the entire time from start to finish.
Yeah, she definitely was. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Charles Manson, you could tell he's just a brainwasher.
Yeah. He's charismatic, but what I found funny, and I had to look it up, it showed him like being escorted, I guess, to court during one of the many times when he was younger, and these two guards tower over him, like his head doesn't even come up to their shoulders.
He's short,
and I'm like, well, how tall is Charles Manson? Which can't wait to see what ads come up on Google now. But but what, you know, and he was 5'6". And I'm like, there is no way. So those guards had to have been like 6'6". I don't think so.
So the same height as Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's Tom Cruise. No. Charles Manson's son.
He's short. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And Tom Cruise is in Scientology, which it, no. That's another episode. Yeah. Ooh, I think I just found a new conspiracy theory to run with.
Oh, no.
No. But I was surprised after the first 10 minutes. And, you know, so no, don't eat if you have a weak stomach with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you have issues with seeing funerals and stuff, you could listen to it. Like, you don't have to watch it, per se.
Sure.
You can listen to, you know, just don't watch the screen. And you could listen to it because, I mean, they're, you know who's talking and stuff like that. But it was better than I thought it would be. So, I still
there you go.
I still wish you hadn't made me watch it, but.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We didn't. So, that.
We did. Yes.
Is that onion peeled
back? Yes, it is. There you go.
I did. My eyes watered on that one, for sure.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So we would like to know what you all thought. You have opinions, comments about it. Let us know. We want to hear from you. Please, don't be shy. We are nice people. So we were talking. Oh, and Erin, congratulations. This is our 30th episode.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
It's just flown right on by.
I can't. It doesn't feel like 30.
Nope. It doesn't. But what should 30 feel like? I don't know. Well, 12 years ago, it felt great.
Right. Maybe for you, but
yeah, according to now. But no. So thank you all so much. Again, we're just having fun with this. We love that we get to work together once a week. Well, more often than that, but once we get to record once a week. Anyway, so next week we have picked a very special sweet Vidalia onion, I think. And it is on, we're recording this Friday and it's happening tonight. 2020 is doing an episode on this, and it is the Chippendale Murders.
Oh, yes.
Now, we're not talking about Chippendale Rescue Rangers from Disney.
I know.
This is Chippendale the Dancers.
Oh, yes. Rare. And all I can think about is Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley and Saturday Night when they had to audition for Chippendales.
Yes. Rest in peace, both of them.
Yes, but, definitely.
Oh, but yeah, my gosh. That's all I think of, too.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah.
So you can watch it on demand. It'll be on abcnews.com or abc.com. Look up 2020 Chippendale Dancers or Chippendale Murders. Excuse me. Chippendale Murders. Look.
And Dancers, too.
I talked about them, and I can't even talk right.
Erica likes to do thorough research on this
one. Oh, yes. This one, I'm going to start tonight. There will be pictures, and I'll probably have to go to show. I mean, I just want to give accurate information.
Exactly. Yes, definitely. We'll have to catch a Chippendale show before we do it. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go. So that will be our onion for next week. So again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, follow us on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. Listen to us. Where you listen to us, make sure you follow, like, review it. It helps out so much when you do things like that, and we greatly appreciate it. If you want to, send us an email at southernonion2@gmail.com. So until then, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Until next time, bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. We'll be right back.